Save big on your Thanksgiving feast, all in the Kroger app.
Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up with your card. Then get a juicy frozen grade A Kroger turkey for 49 cents a pound, limit one with a $25 additional purchase with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
You've got questions? O'Reilly Auto Parts has answers. Need a pro you can trust? We've got that too. No matter what you need, our professional parts people have the training and expertise to help you do things right. Deep automotive knowledge. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome to Coexisting with Rob and Maggie. It is Friday, October 18th, and we are glad you are here because it's been a while since we've been here. It's been 2 weeks. Last week we were not here, so we are glad to be back. We are glad to be talking some wrestling for the next hour, and we'll probably go over because we have some things to make up on. But we want to say thank you so much for being here, and we have missed you incredibly. Incredibly? Who gives a damn? You know,
greatly.
We just know we miss you. Yeah, we miss you greatly. Yes. Incredibly. What the hell is wrong with me? We're already kicking ass. So here we go. Guys, thank you so much. But as I start every show, Maggie, how you doing?
I am alive. make whatever you wish with this information. I talked about this on social media. I was hospitalized for the first time in my life ever. It was definitely an experience. It was scary a lot. I learned a lot from it. The people that were working in the hospital were extremely polite. They were nice and everything. The experience itself, you know, what they did to me was that they shoved a teeny tiny camera up my urethra. So that is not the best feeling, I would think, because I was absolutely totally out of it. That was definitely a thing. I've never had anesthesia before. I was absolutely out of it. Yeah, what?
I've met her sister at a strip club, Anastasia, but never anesthesia. Sorry.
Do you like the singer, by the way?
Anastasia?
Yeah.
I don't even... Who is it?
The singer. I'm out of love, set me free, let me out this misery. Yeah, you really have no idea who Anastasia is.
No,
you've never heard of the woman.
Was she on American Idol or something? I don't know who you're talking about. I really don't.
You've never heard the song before.
Fantasia. I don't know. No, I don't know.
Oh my God. Okay. This is shocking to me. This is like people. Yeah. Yeah.
I stopped listening to like music a while ago. So,
like, yeah, she was famous at the beginning of the millennium. So she's not new.
Yeah. Good for her. I'm proud of her. I hope she's doing well, but no clue.
Okay. That is new because like people not knowing who Anastasia is, and then people having no idea who Jimmy Rockaway is. And I'm like, because like Adam Copeland made that joke.
I know who that one is.
Yeah, okay, but like people are who, and I'm like, wait,
I'm sure if I heard the song, like I would know it. I just don't know the name. Like, I'm sure that's the case. But
does the chat know who I'm talking about? Or
yeah, or is it just you? She has a lot of sleeper hits. I know. Yeah. Beat says banger tune.
Yes, thank you. Jesus. Okay.
Bryn says
that singer is made up, Ryan. Jesus.
Bryn says, I have no idea who Maggie is talking about either, honestly.
Oh my God. Okay, let me. Okay, Rob, can you just talk for a while and I'll put, you know, the.
Well, let me read the super chat before I forget it because Ryan tends to leave us. So, well, 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 look who showed up. Thank you, sir. We are glad you were here too. Okay, go.
I'm looking for a. Yeah, okay. Stereo, let me share this.
Well, don't get us copyrighted.
In the chat?
Oh, gotcha. I thought you were saying you were going to play it.
No, I'm not going to play it. I'm going to put it in the... Jesus. Like, what?
Sorry. It's my first day.
Yeah, like, we missed a week. That's fine. I'm so... How can you not know who Anastasia is?
Well, I'm going to... Hold on one second. Let's, I can't copy and paste it here, so... Put it in private chat so I can at least look... You know what? Hell with it. Let's see what she looks like. Anastasia.
Yes. Yes. Anastasia. This is so weird to me, man. How can you not know who she is?
Mm-hmm. I don't know, but I'd like to know her.
So you've never seen her either?
I've probably seen her. I just... Oh, yeah, now she looks familiar. I just don't remember, like, her singing.
Okay, Kate is in the chat. Kate, you know who Anastasia is, right? The singer? Please, come on. Just... Yeah, Soupy's right. The song I just sang to you at the beginning of the show, which will probably get us copyrighted.
No, it won't.
It's a really well-known song.
Take your word for it.
Oh, yeah, sure. So Kate, no. Okay. Okay, I'm fine. So... It's not that weird. Okay, oh yeah, well, so Corey's heard about Anastasia too. Okay, I was a bit out of it, man. So yeah, so this all came from Hospital Talk. This is Ryan has never heard of that song, and I hope you're lying. I hope you're just being a... Okay, this is...
You're a wrestling talk show.
Yeah, this is a wrestling show. I'm just extremely, extremely puzzled. I'm shocked that people have no idea who this woman is. Like, she was in top five on MTV all the time. Hmm. Yeah. Okay, so, you know. Yes, this is her. She started this whole thing with those goofy sunglasses, which I hate, by the way. And just FYI, yeah.
I'm gonna keep this up for the whole show. No, I'm kidding. But yeah,
you can. I mean, she's a really, really beautiful woman.
Yeah,
fine. She is. Yes, she has a really specific voice.
Yeah, I'm sure I've heard her song before, like her songs, her singing, all that. I just right now it just doesn't come to me, you know. It's like Metallicat.
Sure, sure. Yeah, yes,
I knew that.
Yes, okay. This is the wrestling show. We've gone so out of it. Hi guys, thank you for joining us. Thank you for being here. We missed out last week because, you know, I was back from hospital. Rob had no voice. If you guys tuned into our pre-show for Wrestle Dream on Fightful Select, you would have heard or not heard Rob just, you know, saying three words. And, you know, this was a big of a car crash of a show because I was hosting it. So now we know that.
It was fine. Because you know what, Maggie? You know what you did?
Yeah.
Is you made the
sacrifice, 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 sacrifice.
That's what you did. You were there.
You haven't done that in a while. I kind of miss it because of the Jeff Jarrett thing is so annoying.
Well, you'll be happy. I have nothing today for the Jeff Jarrett.
Fucking yes.
Yeah. I do have a Jeff Jarrett story though, so that's good.
Okay. Sure.
But you'll like it actually for once. And since I don't know if Kate's still here, But I'll say this. What it is, actually, Jeff Jarrett actually gave he gave kudos to Zack Sabre Jr., like, for winning the IWGP title. He talked about how he saw him last year at WrestleDream, and I just thought it was pretty cool. He just said that he said it on his My World podcast, that he just was talking about watching him and Bryan Danielson. They had this incredible bout, and 12 months later, he's the IWGP champion, and Jarrett talked about how he got to share the ring with him in the casino gauntlet, and he just...
You're muted. You muted yourself. I don't know why you keep doing that. It does so because your computer hates Jeff Jarrett too. That's pretty much it. Are you on a different microphone now?
No, I should be back now.
Yeah, okay, it's back.
Am I back?
Oh, yeah.
Jesus Christ, this show. But yeah, that's all. I was just saying that he, yeah, I was just saying that he had good things to say. So I just let you.
Yeah, well, I know that Jeff Jarrett is an amazing human being. I know he's a good guy. I'm just keeping. It's just I'm keeping the bit alive. Okay, I'm not good. Okay, as long as you just don't do the bit anymore, I. Because
I
this
promise
just...
I will never do it again.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. So let me just get out my shtick. Jesus Christ. Thank you for joining us, guys. Thank you for being here. Please leave a like on the video. This is the most important thing that we always ask you to do. It costs zero amount of money for you to leave the thumbs up. Hit the thumbs up, please. Thank you in advance. Also, if you'd like to support us via your wallets, I will never say that again. You can send a super chat. It's the bottom of the live YouTube chat, the little dollar sign. Any donation will get your question or statement read live on the air. You can also send a humper chat at humperchats.com. It makes us keep a little bit more of the proceeds. Please subscribe to Fightful Overbook, the very channel that we are on right now. Please, please subscribe to youtube.com/Fightful. And last but definitely not least, please subscribe to Fightful Select. It is the best $5 in the business. A lot of scoops, a lot of amazing interviews that Sean does. You always get the interviews faster on the $5 or the $10 tier. On Fightful Select, there is also a free tier on Fightful Select that you can read on injury reports, icky stuff like assaults and stuff that we do not want to put behind the paywall. And also you can see all the captions, you know, the headlines of the articles, and you can see for yourself why you should be a Fightful Select subscriber. So it's, you know,
I was just going to say, Sean just dropped some news on Select just now that a TNA wrestler got their request for release granted, and I'm going to let that go for a little bit before I say who it is, because we want Select subscribers to get their news.
Yes,
but,
yes.
Like
yes.
I said, it's always good when a wrestler, if they request a release and they get it, kudos for that happening, if that's what they want, so.
Yes, absolutely. If someone gets wants their release and there is no binding contract and everything, like, that's absolutely fine. I think it's like I got all the plugs out of the way. I think so. Yes, Fightful Select. Please subscribe to Fightful Select. Leave a like on the video. Again, it helps us out a lot. Also, when you're done watching the podcast, or if you're watching later on demand, please leave a comment under the video. I cannot specify just how incredibly important that is.
Yes.
We can start talking about Zack Sabre Jr. now, if you want, of course.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we do have SP3 that's going to join us for a few minutes in a little bit. So, but yeah, we could talk about that. As you know, Maggie is a big Zack Sabre Jr. guy, and her guy won the IWGP title this past week. He defeated Naito for his first ever IWGP heavyweight title. And yeah, kudos. Congratulations to Zack Sabre Jr. It is something that was, in my opinion, desperately needed by New Japan, because they need a new face to run the place, in my opinion. And he is a good guy that can do it. He is going to be the guy to do it, in my opinion. And yeah, I think it's awesome. And it was a good match. So
it was
a good match with Zack Sabre Jr.
No, if you have a bad match with Zack Sabre Jr., you're probably the problem. I adore the fact that we are going to have SP3 on the show here later to talk and praise the crap out of Zack Sabre Jr. I also wish that Cake was here just so we can fangirl Zack Sabre Jr. all the time. So the thing is,
she had to go to the bathroom and wait for chicken tenders, from what my sources tell me.
Sure. So the stupid thing is that it started being so incredibly cold here, and I wished I could wear my Zack Sabre Jr. t-shirt, because I just got it, and I'm like, I'm gonna wear the Zack Sabre Jr. t-shirt when he wins that IWGP championship, and now it's cold and I can't wear the shirt. Like, that's
SP3, do not be alarmed, but there is a tiger behind you. There's actually two of them.
I've been aware. I've been told. You just threw me on here. You didn't even give me no introduction. I was like, God damn. All right, cool.
Yeah, no, we don't. We just throw people on. We're professionals here. We're like the, I got nothing right now. But welcome. This is SP3 from True Hill Heat. And he's also part of Sports Illustrated. So how about that? I have somebody professional on here.
Yeah, this is SP3. Weird.
No, I'm kidding.
The tiger?
Like, yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Who, me?
It's the nose for
welcome.
Me.
Yeah. Welcome, my friend.
Hello, everyone. How are you?
We're doing wonderful now that you're here. We always loved being joined by SP3 on the show. We adore you, sweetie. Just okay. So did you cry? Because I cried a bit.
I had a tear in my eye. I didn't cry all the way. I had a tear in my eye when Zach was celebrating in the crowd after winning the championship, and then they panned over to Mikey Nichols and Hartley Jackson in the ring, and they were tearing up. I was like, oh, all right, y'all got me. I was able to hold my composure for most of it, but seeing their reaction to seeing Zach reach the mountaintop, something that he worked so hard for, and to have your like friends there with you, that touched me.
It was kind of for me, it was a long time coming, because as someone who adores Zack Sabre Jr. for a while now, and I understand that they had to lean on Okada and Will Ospreay and Jay White and everyone else, but like, everyone was kind of bummed out because AEW scooped a lot of people from Japan. And rightfully so. I mean, they were carrying the company a lot. And I was low-key so happy for Zack Sabre Jr. because I was like, now he gets to have a chance. I mean, he did have a lot of IWGP title opportunities in the past, but it was clearly not his time. And right now, who better than Zack Sabre Jr.? Like, the moment everyone left and went to New Japan or other companies, I was like, this is the time. Strap the entire company on Zack and then just make him run with it. I mean, Zack Sabre Jr. low-key won me over with his rant backstage for, you know, UK government crap for Boris. He was gently tapping a chair on the ground. And he was like, Boris Johnson is prime minister. I was like, that is the best thing ever. Like, this is so funny. And Of course, everyone, like we saw Zack Sabre Jr. in the Cruiserweight Classic in WWE. And I was like, who is this man? And why isn't he signed? And then he went to Japan. And I was like, okay, I can see now. Because for the longest time, I was trying to figure out what a Zack Sabre Jr. in WWE would look like. And I haven't managed to figure out an image of that, because I don't think it clicks at all, like whatsoever. I mean, Zach in Japan is amazing. I did get to see Zack Sabre Jr. in Ref Pro, which was the coolest thing ever, because he was facing Hichicero, and that was the best thing I've ever seen. Flat out best thing I've ever seen. That was amazing. And I'm just so happy for Zach, man. It's just, and a lot of people are talking, oh, maybe he drops the title before Wrestle Kingdom. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Wrestle Kingdom it's tomorrow. Like,
I've heard that craziness. And I was just like, why would you even do that? Why would you even do that? Like that, I wouldn't even say that. Why would you even put that into the universe? Like, why would you even think that that's an option? But I totally agree with you. Like, I got to see Zach on the independent scene for like Evolve and stuff like that before the Cruiserweight Classic, and I was just like, oh, this guy is very unique. Like, he has a very much, you know, a mat based technical style that's very much different, but it's also a callback to like the old UK style, the World of Sport mixed with like just grappling at a different level. And he has that 6 second rule where he doesn't hold on to one submission for more than 6 seconds, that he moves on to the next one, or he grabs another limb and connects the dots and then comes up with this crazy names for stuff. And I love this stuff in the Cruiserweight Classic, like him versus Drew Gulak and stuff like that, making it all the way to the semifinals. And because him and Ibushi did not sign, they lost in the semifinals. And then him going into New Japan starting at that 2017 G1, it was just like, oh, wow, you got Ibushi's here now. Zach's here now. Kenny Omega's still on top. We had Okada. Tanahashi still had a couple of years left in his prime. Naito was in his prime. So it was just a great time to be a fan of New Japan Pro Wrestling and just seeing his steady climb. And I feel like it was like 1 year ago when Zach faced Will Ospreay at Royal Quest in the UK for the United States Championship in one of the best matches last year. I thought that Zach should have won that, because I was like, if Will, because at that point, that's when the reports came out that Will's contract was coming up and that he was thinking about signing with either AEW or WWE. And I was like, if Will's leaving, he needs to put over the next Gaijin. Because, you know, Kenny kind of did that when he lost to Jay White early on after his excursion. He came over, he lost the United States Championship to Jay White, and that kind of gave Jay White the moniker of the next top Gaijin by the time Kenny leaves a year later. So I was like, Will needs to do that and put over the next top Gaijin, which was Zack Sabre Jr. And then everything that happened at the beginning of the year with Will leaving, Okada was set to leave. I was just like, I said before the G1, I was like, I think Zack should win the title. He should be the one. I was like, Naito is going to be the top guy now, but I don't expect Naito to have a year-long run, because that's not what New Japan does. That's not how Gato books Naito. He never gives him longer than like 2-3 months with this top title. So you need a break in between the Naito reigns. I knew I literally could go back to old podcasts on Tree Hill Heat channel, did Ace Techers for another site, and I was wrestling, and I said, I was like, beginning of the year, I was like, Naito's gonna have 2 runs with this title this year. So Zach should be the one that beats him before, like in the spring, and then Naito can win it back at later on in the year, but Zach should win it early on. So by the time we got to the G1, I totally lost faith. I went with Shoto Amino, which in hindsight, I was correct, because I said Shoto Amino was going to win the G1 because he was going to challenge for the top title at Wrestle Kingdom next year. And it seems like how they're laying it out, that Shoto Amino will challenge for the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship in the long run anyway, but it will be against Zack Sabre Jr. But I totally lost faith because I was like, Dato, I don't feel like you're gonna do it. And he did it. Zach won the G1 in a miraculous performance, and then beating Naito, it was just an emotional ride because there was always that little caveat that it's Gato booking, and no one was 100% that Zach was gonna win on Monday. No one was of full faith because Naito has already presented that he might face Hiromu Takahashi or Shingo at Wrestle Kingdom. And those are two big matches that can main event the Tokyo Dome. And there wasn't anything that leaked out of you that was saying, oh, Zack Sabre Jr. versus this person can main event Tokyo Dome. So there was always that little chance that Naito could have won. And that's what made that main event at King of Pro Wrestling so great to watch, because when Zack finally hits, it's back to back to back Zach drivers and finally puts them away. It was just like, oh, thank God. They actually did it. They went through with it. Thank you, Gato. Thank you finally making the good decision, because Zach is the guy that can lead this place. He is now officially the top Gaijin. And what a journey has been over the last 7 years seeing Zach from that first 2017 G1 to now. He earned this.
So... why do you think he cashed in earlier and not have the championship opportunity at Wrestle Kingdom?
I think he cashed in early because Naito's body is breaking down.
Because like this is where all the theorists are coming from. They were like, well, he's dropping the title at Wrestle Kingdom, and that's why they didn't have the match at Wrestle Kingdom, because that's when he's gonna drop the title. And I'm like, fucking shut up. And go to bed.
there is a chance of that, because I think like what New Japan needs to do is, I think like even as much as, you know, the moment on Monday was about Zack Sabre Jr. winning the championship, another big moment happened in the post-match. That booze that Shoto Aminu got when he came out, it was so reminiscent of Tetsuya Naito after winning the G1 in 2013, coming out to challenge Okada for Wrestle Kingdom in 2014, and how he got booed out the building and then lost at Wrestle Kingdom, and it led to him becoming the ungovernable one and starting Los Ingobernables de Japón and going into the prime of his career. That moment of Shota Aminu getting booed out the building, I said it before, I'll say it again. That is his origins. That is his villain origin story right there. He needs to become the top villain in New Japan Pro Wrestling. He needs to start Blackpool Combat Club Japan and start suffocating people with plastic bags, starting with Hiroshi Tanahashi on his retirement tour. He needs to yoke him up, take him out, and become the most hated man in New Japan Pro Wrestling.
If Tanahashi comes out with a white shirt, and then you're like, oh no. No, he's doing it. He's doing it. Jesus, I actually enjoy that. It's a really cool way. But like, I've always hated the new design of the IWGP belt. I'm sure I'm not the only one. I've always hated it, but like now that it's on Zack Sabre Jr., I hate it even more, because I mean, that guy deserves the most handsome title belt, because previously he held the only title belt that was uglier than this in New Japan. And I was like, can he hold some pretty looking gold, please? Because like, can he just run around with the G1 trophy? And that's the title. Just get. Why aren't they getting a new title belt? Because like, it's Zack Sabre Jr. the ugly belt title holder now. Yeah. Because it's fix that, please. And the only reason why I would want for Zack Sabre Jr. to lose the championship at Wrestle Kingdom is if after the match he was like, yeah, and just hands it over. never like that. What does he say all the time? The cat title anyway. And he just leaves. And then just goes on to bigger and better stuff.
Look at that beautiful title.
Beautiful hair. Do you know that my entire pinky could disappear into his chin dimple? My entire pinky.
See that? I can see that. He very, very reminiscent of Jim Carrey and Me, Myself, and Irene.
Yes.
No, he's even got the haircut.
Yes. I'm just saying, we can try, Zach. I mean, like,
Jesus.
We can put that on the price book select.
Good God.
People will pay good money to see that.
I'm sure they would. And
yes.
Rob Van Dam, Sean, and thank just you started in their advance. Own You're welcome. So there you go.
Premium content. SP3,
want to say thank you for joining us to talk a little Zack Sabre Jr., because I knew that was something that we wanted to get some expertise on and hear what you had to say. And you want a title that a lot of us have been wanting to see him win. So it's good to see that New Japan.
I wish it was prettier.
Well, sure, but it is what it is, I guess. He'll change it up. But
yes.
I want to say thank you for joining us. Tell everybody what you're doing and where they can find you.
Plug all your crap.
You can follow me on the Twitter machine at TrueHillSP3. That's a hub where you can see all my stuff, mostly doing the True Hill Heat YouTube channel. I will be live tomorrow, 11:05 a.m. Eastern Time, the True Hill Heat flagship podcast. I'll be joined by Scott E. Wrestling, Scott Edwards, as well as Professor Chris from the NWA podcast for the show, talking about this week in wrestling, including Zack Sabre Jr. winning the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship. We have a King of Pro Wrestling review that's up on the channel. I also today previewed Royal Quest because I'll be there live on Sunday in London, England at the Crystal Palace when Zach defends the title for the first time against Sonata. So if you're going to be there, if you're in the UK, you want to say hi to me, I am friendly. I'm not like a regular wrestling fan. I wear deodorant. I smelled all right. And I'll be there to say, I know. I'll say hi to you if you say hi to me. So check that out. We'll have a World Quest review up on there. And yeah, you can see my writing work at WrestleTalk.com as well as SI.com. I just did a top five WWE WrestleMania matches of Shawn Michaels' career. Also did a five things you may not know about the Motor City Machine Guns before their WWE debut tonight on SmackDown. Yes, yes, I am a big MCMG fan, so you can learn some things there with that article. And yeah, I'll be on live tonight following SmackDown, Sports Kita, Wrestle Binge with the legendary Bill Apter and good friend of the channel and everywhere else, Rick Uccino, reviewing tonight's Friday Night SmackDown. But anytime Rob and Maggie need me to come on, I will be here. They just have to ask. Yeah, I don't mind coming over any week. I'll change my schedule where I work in the morning, so I'm free at this time and I can spend more time with
you. Hey, I left Soupy for you, okay?
This is true. Rob always comes through when I need someone for the Raw review. You come through for all our WWE previews on True Hill Heat. So I was like, yeah, I'm working, but I'll take my 15-minute break early. So I did it here. Thank you guys for having me.
I do have one question. Will my Timberwolves make it to the Western Conference Finals?
They have a chance. I did my research. Check out FMC from earlier this week with me and Jeremy Lambert. I did my research, and I had the Wolves finishing at 4. I think they really have a chance. And have you been watching Starting Five, Rob, on Netflix?
Yes. Yes.
I'm falling in love with Anthony Edwards. He may be my favorite player in the NBA now. Like, that show, seeing him with his family – he is going to be the face of the NBA, and I really have faith in him. So I may change my prediction. I'm going to do another preview and predictions for True Hill Heat Sports and Entertainment. I may change my pick for MVP, and it may be Anthony Edwards.
Listen, I'm such a big fan of his. I told him I would take some of those paternity tests for him.
All right, I got to go, guys.
I knew that'd pop him.
By the way, I can vouch for that. SP3 smells great. Just so you know, follow SP3's lead, shower before wrestling events.
Yeah, and deodorant. Use the deodorant
too. SP3 did mention the Motor City Machine Guns. did you pop as much as me last week on SmackDown? Nicholas was like, I have a brand new team coming next week. And he was talking to Street Profits in DIY. And Tommaso Ciampa was not only doing the thing, it was so droll. And I'm like, okay, I see you. I see you. But then I go back and hear the segment and he was like, Motor City. And I'm like, Tommaso Ciampa is unhinged. Okay. I miss Tommaso Ciampa so much. Justice for DIY. The fact that we're going to be getting DIY versus Motor City Machine Guns kind of makes my tummy really good.
You're going somewhere else. Here.
No. Uh-huh.
Okay.
It's okay.
Yeah.
It's going to be good, but it's not Kenny Omega levels of good. So let's just dial it.
Guys, send in your super chats or humper chats, because we will gladly take them. So let's move on.
Oh yes,
the name that we were talking about earlier. There is your TNA release. He requested it, and
we will not spoil it for the audio listeners or people who are washing dishes while watching our show. I'm talking to you, Ryan. Go do the dishes, okay, if you're not. So let's move on. Let's move on from that. So I just saw that. I mean, it's not going to be a coexisting episode without Corey doing something like that.
Good pun, yeah.
We love you, Corey, for that. So,
hey, hold on one second. This man right here, D'Lo Diggs, he's going to be wrestling Leo Rush.
Okay, this is one step closer to Buddy Matthews, just as FYI. One step closer.
In Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
South Dakota. I know where that...
Yeah.
Where are my cookies for knowing where Sioux Falls is?
I don't know. Probably in
Thank
Sioux
you,
Falls.
Supernatural.
Yeah, that's why. Okay, I was like, I don't know why you know that, but
carry cool. you my way with sound. Yes, that's let's move canvas. On. Wrestle Dream was last week. And this is the only way I'm gonna enjoy the crap out of a Saturday night pay-per-view when I have medical leave and I don't get to work on Sunday. So I'm thankful for that. Wrestle Dream happened. So it ended. Thank you, D'Lo. All the cookies, please. Jesus. People do not give me enough credit for knowing so many things about America. Well, you America. Guys know squat about Bulgaria. Yeah.
I know they have really good dentistry. And they film the Expendables there.
So Wrestle Dream happened last week. as I started saying, Rob, it ended out in a way. Before I start talking about this, tell me all your thoughts about Wrestle Dream's main event between Bryan Danielson and Jon Moxley, the match for the AEW Championship and Bryan Danielson's career.
Well, one, Bryan Danielson, that match, the way it ended, the way the pay-per-view ended, was totally 100% Bryan Danielson thought out, booked everything. It had Bryan Danielson written all over it. And for that, I thought it was an actual pretty damn good ending for what he wanted. That's why I thought it was great, because he doesn't care. Like he likes watching the fire burn, you know, like he wants it. Like I thought it was great. I thought it was a good match. And what sucked was we all knew it was coming.
Yeah. You know.
But it was just one of those things, and we know that he has to have a surgery, and amongst others. I think the thing that sucks the most is that we didn't get to have him for those years. You know, that's what hurts, because now we don't get him again for... I mean, he's not done. He just has to have surgery.
We have no idea of knowing that, because he has to have neck surgery.
Yeah.
I mean, he says he's not done. His full-time in-ring career is done. But that's the thing with neck surgeries. Yes.
I do agree with this. This I did question. I thought that was kind of weird. The fake crying by Excalibur, that was a little... That was kind of dumb. Because that you could tell that was, like...
Can you? I couldn't tell.
I can. Like, oh, my God. That was bad.
I mean, have in mind that he has a mask on his face.
The way it sounded. It just sounded brutal. But this is... I agree 100% here. This is what needs to happen. But I think it's going to be Maggie's guy that's going to take that damn title off him.
Cool Jeff Jarrett?
No, your other guy. Darby Allin.
Oh, okay. I was so good up until that. Thank you, Robert. Jesus, what are you doing to me today?
Ended, well, the way that show ended with that camera zoomed on him, and like the other,
I know,
the other
three, I know, that I know,
that was it. That pretty much said this is where they're going. But I makes would me sick. Absolutely love for Samoa Joe to be like, nah, I don't think so, and just beat the hell out of everybody. That's what I'd prefer.
But I would like to think that this is what most people will prefer, but for some reason people enjoy the crap out of Darby Allin. And the sad part here is you know that annoying type of wrestling fans that are, there is no way I can believe a small guy like that can beat a huge, legitimate, tough guy like that. They're really annoying. And I'm like, you do know this is scripted, right? It's not real. Like, you can enjoy moments that make your belly feel good after that. Like, you can just enjoy it. Like, make the underdogs win. Like, you know, it's a happy feeling. And now I'm kind of feeling that I'm a part of that crowd, because there ain't no way in any universe a guy like Darby Allin can beat John Moxley. Especially this type of John Moxley, because it's a different thing now. It's really different. This is not goofy Moxley or Dean Ambrose or any type of that with Mitch the Plant. Oh. Mitch the Plant, man. And like this Mitch is a different thing. But I understand why this decision has to be made, because Darby is incredibly popular with a certain type of crowd, and like, people enjoy watching him work, man, and I'm fine with that. As long as the majority of the wrestling fans are happy with your product, this is what you do with this. I'm not the only person watching AEW, thank God. So if this is the way they do it, sure. But I'm going to be leaning more towards different aspects of Dynamite and AEW as a whole when the time comes and Darby dethrones Moxley, because I agree with you here. From this particular storytelling standpoint, Darby should be the one to do it. So that being said, the match was exactly what I thought it was going to be. It was a match between Bryan Danielson and Moxley. Come on, it's just exactly what you thought it was going to be. Like, Bryan Danielson would try to out-wrestle Moxley, but Moxley would just be Moxley and just, you know, hit him with offense like two lariats, and then do after that. The Death Rider. And then Bryan Danielson decides to kick out at one, because this is what makes people adore Bryan, because like, he has that explosiveness to him. And like he did that a couple of times, having in mind that Maureen Shafir exposed the floor again. And then the referee kicked her out, not because she made the floor naked, but because it was, because like she was beating Bryan Danielson all the time behind the ref's back. And then he finally caught up to that. And then like a lot of, you know, wrestling moves were hit on the exposed floor, Robert. Now, like, yeah. Yes, okay, just end this already. Just, I'm not, this is, of course, this is entertainment, but this is also Bryan Danielson. Also, another thing happens because, like, I feel like we kind of got our closure with Bryan Danielson being retired more at All In London because they did all the video packages and everything. And then he won the title against Swerve. Yes, the Death Rider on the concrete. This is exactly what I was saying. Hi, Quinn. I don't know if this is the first time you're joining us live, but like this is surely the first time I've seen you in the chat. Thank you for joining us. So, yeah, I kind of had my closure then, and you got Bryan Danielson's family in the crowd, Brie and the kids and everything, and they weren't here now. And I'm like, so
yeah,
did
told
Brie
them not to be?
How can you listen to that?
Well, no, I'm saying that's where he told him, like, I'm just covering, like, that part. He told him not to be because it was going to be a different style.
Yeah, she could be, like, Brie could have been there. But just Brie, okay? Like, leave your kids at home and just come by yourself, okay? Just so, go support your husband. And
you
when
know
the
he
match is
being a vegetarian. He started eating Brie. I stole that from Nigel. Yeah.
Yeah, so thank you for mentioning Nigel, because the person who also like changed his tone was Nigel McGuinness. I mean, Moxley took a swipe at him on commentary, you know, while they were brawling in front of the commentary table, and Nigel McGuinness had, like, he didn't know what to say for the duration of this match, and he showed sympathy. And this is how you know that this is serious. This is how you know you're supposed to be taking this seriously, because Nigel McGuinness is like he put a stop to everything that he was talking about during all of Bryan Danielson's matches. He just flipped the channel. He just made that person go away. So right after that, the BCC come out, and what happens is Moxley gives the title to Claudio, and Claudio shoves it in a gym bag. And I'm like, okay, so this is a clear showing that this is not about the title. The only reason why Moxley wanted a match against Bryan Danielson was so that he can hurt the guy, he can retire the guy. It was never about the championship. So the championship is out of sight now because they went out on this week's Dynamite. And we can only assume that the championship was in the briefcase that Pac was carrying around. We can only assume that because there's no way of knowing. It's Schrodinger's title belt. This is exactly how I'm going to call it now, up until the time that we see it. Yeah, so they got out the bag, you know, the see-through bag that they choked him the first time with. And I'm like, okay, we're going to see that again. So Darby Allin comes out with Yuta, and they pretend to be saving Bryan Danielson, when in reality, Wheeler Yuta kicks the crap out of Darby Allin. I'm like, fucking yes, I knew I loved Yuta for a reason. And like, and then they introduce Yuta to the back, and Wheeler Yuta chokes Bryan Danielson exactly like almost everyone thought that it was going to happen. Like, a lot of us thought that Wheeler Yuta was going to turn heel on Bryan Danielson here. So what happened was that a lot of the people from the locker room came out in order for them to save Bryan Danielson.
Yeah.
So, Private Party came out, Jeff Jarrett came out, and I'm like, fucking no, he's always gonna make things about him, okay?
Oh no,
like,
he's He's saving the company, damn it.
In no way did he did it because he wanted to save Brian Danielson. He was like, I'm going to get myself on TV. On pay-per-view. I have to be on this pay-per-view, otherwise I do not get paid. So he went
you
out.
Sound like a South Park character.
I know. I know. It's so good. Yeah. So later on, at the end of the show, because the entire locker room at one point came out. And, you know, because Adam Cole returned at Wrestle Dream also. So what happened was Jack Perry was facing Shibata for the TNT title. The match was what it was. It was better than the entire world made it out to be. Seriously, I have no idea where people are simply hating on Jack Perry just for the sake of hating Jack Perry. The match was absolutely fine. What happened was at the end, Daniel Garcia came out to make a save, save Shibata. So what happened was MJF came out, and this gave the green light to Jack Perry to shove the championship in his head. So MJF was like, yeah, I heard about your bidding war and everything. I also found my diamond ring at a pawn shop. So here it is. And as he's gonna hit Daniel Garcia with the ring, out comes Adam Cole, and I squeaked. I lost my shit because we were on the show, on the pre-show last week, and I'm like, I miss Adam Cole so much. And then he came back, and I'm like, So this made me happy. So at the end of the show, Adam Cole was one of these people that came out. So what happened eventually on Dynamite, because he opens up the show, and I shit you not, because, like, bear with me, because this is bugging the crap out of me. After witnessing what Jon Moxley did to Bryan Danielson, Adam Cole has the nerve to come out on Dynamite and say on national television, MJF is the worst human being. And I'm like, okay, so a guy pretends to be your friend, taunts the entire world that he will hit you with a title belt. Then he falls in love with you legitimately as a friend. And then you stab him in the back. Of course, he sucks for that because, like, he in no way you should trust MJF in any way at any point of your life. In, like, no way ever. But then on the very company that you work for, someone tries to murder one of your heroes. He tries to murder the guy. He's trying to suffocate him. But MJF's the worst human being. And I'm like, priorities, man. Just fucking priorities. This is so weird. So naturally, he wants a match against MJF. But MJF got on the Titantron drinking his wine and stuff. And he said, I'm not going to give it to you. Did you have a problem with Adam Cole returning as a face? Were you a part of this mob, Robert?
No.
On Twitter that was like, this makes zero sense.
No, why because I always like, I always like seeing Twitter just blow up. Because the thing is Adam, the thing is that whole thing was just a, that whole storyline was just a car crash.
Yes.
Because of the broken ankle situation. They needed to reset, and this was the way to do it. I know it doesn't make sense, but they had to move on.
Yes.
They just had to move desperately on, and this is the way to do it. In my opinion, and this is my opinion, I think Adam Cole is a much better face than he is a heel. I just think he is. I know a lot of people think he's a better heel, and that's up to them. I mean, that's cool. We could disagree. But the thing is I like Adam Cole either when he's a face or a heel. It doesn't matter. I'm still an Adam Cole guy, baby.
Always.
So I guess I'm a little biased when it comes to that. So,
I feel like
Quinn makes a good point. It does make sense, but Cole was also the devil in the story. That's a good way to put it. I mean, that's.
Well, the thing is, he also said something that is absolutely not true. He said that evil has to be fought with evil, and here's what I think, okay? You guys get me to the States just so I can make Adam Cole watch David Lynch movies. Because you never fight evil with evil. The only way you can fight evil is to expose evil to goodness and light. Okay? You can so tell that you're not a David Lynch guy. Stop it. Okay? Just watch good movies. So the thing is, yes, a lot of people, they get on TK's back for not letting go of storylines, because TK does that a lot. And now that he does, because he sensed the room and he knew that the storyline was going absolutely nowhere, and this was in no way the wrestler's fault, because none of them could predict that Adam Cole was going to get injured. I sympathize with that. So the thing is, he dropped the story here for the sake of the goodness television, okay? So just thank you for dropping the, like, we can never know. We can never know what the storyline leads to. Hell, they can pick it up later in the future, not in the exact same way, but, like, they can make it make sense. Give it time. Just give it room, okay? Like, you also, like, you realize that this isn't the end, right? Like, it's not gonna, MJF not giving Adam Cole a match makes sense, because he's probably not done in Hollywood, you know, shooting movies and everything. Also, why would he? Because this is what Adam Cole wants. And MJF is the old smirky, slimy heel that doesn't wrestle anymore.
Yep.
So this absolutely makes sense. One other thing was, I will really try not to compare Adam Cole to Roman Reigns. I am not doing that. I'm not comparing one wrestler to the other. I'm comparing the return. So Roman Reigns was a huge heel. He was the biggest heel in the company. He went away and people automatically wanted him back. And when the time came and Roman Reigns came back, he did nothing different than the things that he did when he was a heel, correct? And yet everyone was cheering the crap out of him. Like, he did nothing wrong. People were just happy to see him. Let me give another thing. So when Seth Rollins came back from his injury, and he came back and gave Roman Reigns a pedigree, and everyone was so fucking happy to see Seth Rollins back. And they were cheering him so much. And then he was a heel. And everyone was like, no, we want to cheer him. We don't care that he was a heel before that. He overcame a lot. And we want to cheer for the guy. And they were still trying to make Seth Rollins a heel, but no one cared. And they just cheered him. So this is the same thing. Of course, Adam Cole was a heel, but, like, why would you shove a heel in everyone's face when all they want is to cheer Adam Cole? So let's just capitalize on that, and maybe in the near future you can do whatever you want. Either if you like Adam Cole, like, I adored Adam Cole as a heel, but over at NXT Black and Gold, man, this was the thing I loved. We have yet to see Adam Cole as a true heel that he can than he can be in the future, but, like, right now, capitalize on the face energy that he has right there. The thing that we forgot to mention about the Bryan Danielson and Moxley thing was, the BCC are running the show so much that they got the Elite shook, because they got they got in the way of the match between the Elite, OC. What was the match? OC, Rocky Romero, and Kyle O'Reilly. So the BCC came out, interfered in the match. The match ended. What I would like, what I think is happening is that BCC are going after all of the people that came to save Bryan Danielson at the end of the pay-per-view. This is probably what's happening. So the Elite were shocked by all the events, man. They did nothing. So what, I don't know which one, but like one of the biggest supporters for Fightful. Oh man, who was it? I for the life of me, I'm so sorry that I forgot who it was actually. So what they said that they thought that this looked like was if the Elite were the crooked politicians and the BCC were the cartel. Like, he made this comparison and it is so good. Because this could basically be it. Like, because the Elite are running the company, but like everything's happening because of the BCC and they can't do anything about it because like they're fucking terrified, man. And I adore where this is leading. Having in mind that this is all happening on Kenny Omega's birthday. And Jack Perry gave Kenny Omega an intestine cake. Yes. Yes. Blood and guts, man. Wow. Yeah, so are you happy to see Adam Cole back?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm always a big fan of Adam Cole, so I'm happy he's back.
Yes. So how happy are you that we get to see Shelton Benjamin in the ring? Because this
oh,
is...
Oh my God. I'm so happy because I've known, just like a lot of people have known, how damn good this man has been, how good he is, and finally, somebody lets him show it. The thing is, this is where I'm going to go nuts. This man has been so damn good that he's never really been able to be given the chance in the company he was with because of the way they do things. And I understand that. But the thing that just drives me nuts is they didn't let him do it because they're dumb at times. He's so damn good. I mean, I've known this forever. I actually got to see one of Shelton Benjamin's first WWE in-ring matches, like, right after OVW. I mean, he was still in OVW. I've seen the guy wrestle so many times. He's amazing. The fact that he got to wrestle his style of match, a match that he got to help likely produce with Leo Rush, we all know is a hell of a wrestler.
This was the perfect...
They got to just go out there.
Perfect opponent.
Yeah, they got to go out there and just kill it. And the fact that he got to do that on a Wednesday night in front of... on a main event, it just made me so damn happy to see it. Because the next day, yeah, I retweeted
It wasn't the main event, by the way, but like, I understand.
It felt like the main event. That's right. It wasn't the main
event. For me, it was the main event for me.
That's right. It felt like the main event. But anyways, that tells you how much it had an effect on me, though. Because I
understand completely.
So anyways, but like, I retweeted your tweet with the link for the HBK Shelton Benjamin match, which is one of my all-time top favorite matches of Raw. And I've been watching Raw since, granted, I didn't start watching Raw like when it first started in 93, 94-ish, but I've been watching it regularly since 95, you know, so I've been watching for so many years, and that is easily one of my top three favorite Raw matches of all time. That tells you something. The guy is so damn good, and it is disappointing on many levels that we had, like, we could have seen this for years. This man was that damn good, and he is that damn good. It just shows that there's some stupid decisions being made in wrestling. And I'm glad that he gets to do this. Because I said this a couple years ago. When the pandemic was happening and they were talking about like different wrestlers being like when they were getting let go and stuff, I always thought that somebody that WWE should have at NXT.
Oh yes, absolutely.
Somebody that should bring in an NXT who has a job for life would be Shelton Benjamin. Like, he is that good. He knows what he's doing. He's just that damn good. That was what I always said. And I'm like, he is a guy that should have a job for life. And the fact that he gets that now, in my opinion. I'm not saying AEW needs to do a NXT style. I mean, they should in a way, I think. Not necessarily need to do the college aspect that WWE does, but they should have a thing where they help develop their wrestlers. And he would be the perfect person to help train, like, down the road when he retires, if that's what he wants to do. I don't know what he wants to do. He might not want to have anything to do with wrestling when it's all said and done. I don't know. I'm just speaking to speak, I guess. But the thing is, I'm just saying, he's so damn good. I'm glad that we got to see him do his thing, because there's so many things I want to say, and it irritates me.
At the same time.
Because this man was creatively, he was given shit a lot. And what they did do, they made something work. And it was called the Hurt Business. Yeah. And it was working well. People liked it and they went away from it. They went away from it for no reason. It will always baffle the hell out of me. Always will baffle me.
I hated the fact that they had Shelton Benjamin and they, like, the worst thing that you can do is have a wrestler at the caliber of Shelton Benjamin and make him have vignettes backstage for 10 seconds going like this.
Yeah. And you know what? They have a guy on their roster now. I'm not saying he's he is Shelton Benjamin. I'm not saying they're the same, but they're pretty damn close. His name's Cedric Alexander. Cedric Alexander is that damn good as well.
Yeah, Cedric Alexander is still there. He's back in NXT right now.
No, I know. What I'm saying is... that's the thing. He is that damn good. My point is, WWE has so many of these great wrestlers that when we get to see them move on, we get to see them. That's why we get to see them shine for the most part. That's one thing that's great about some of these wrestlers that get to move on, is because we get to see them like at independent shows and or they move on to AEW. Or New Japan, wherever they go. I just want wrestling, and I just want wrestlers to be happy. And I'm happy that Shelton Benjamin got to kick ass and show a lot of people who he was. Because that was the fun thing about Twitter that night, where how many people did not know what that man was capable of. And that made
that's,
me pretty damn
That's baffling,
happy.
Man. That's baffling. The thing is, how do you know a match is incredibly good? I'll tell you how you know. Because a thing happened in this match that wasn't supposed to. Shelton Benjamin did his high knee thing. He hit Leo Rush when he was trying to do a dive. And Shelton tripped and fell while doing, you know, after he hit the high knee on the apron, he didn't land correctly and he fell, which made it look even better. Because it looked real. It looked like Shelton Benjamin threw his entire body at Leo Rush to the point where he just cared only about executing the move and did not care about anything else other than that. He just landed, he fell, he landed, but he hit the target and he got the job done. This looked amazing, even though it wasn't supposed to look like that. Just goes to show you just how incredible of a ring general Shelton Benjamin is. Now I have all the questions, because Forbidden Door isn't for another year, but I'm like, I want to know who Shelton Benjamin is facing at Forbidden Door, because I want to see that.
We have AEW Dynasty. That I think that's going to be a Forbidden Door show in January.
Before that, yes, we also have that.
Yeah, man,
I totally spaced that out. Sorry.
I'm just saying.
Yes, we do. Wow, Rob, remember something that I don't.
Yeah, it happened once in a blue moon. Anyway, Soupy says, current agenda, Shelton in the Continental Classic.
Mm-hmm. This exactly. Every one of us is hoping for, maybe not win it. I'm not, specifically saying that I would never mind if Shelton Benjamin is given his flowers at the age of fucking 49. He's 49 years old, guys. I don't know if you realize how much this is. He's 49 and he moves in a certain way in the ring. You shouldn't be doing that. So everyone's saying, oh, Kenny Omega's right in the horizon. We're gonna get Kenny Omega versus Shelton Benjamin. Don't fucking do that to me. We have no idea if Kenny is okay. Okay. I want him to come out, deliver some wrestling moves on Jack Perry, preferably, and say that he's cleared, and that's when I'll know. I will never speculate before that. Oh. Happy belated birthday to Kenny Omega. Oh. Did I what? I think you're cutting out.
Or Maggie Savage. I'm cutting out? Okay.
For me, you're cutting out. I have no idea. People in the chat will say, because like this is I hate being cut out when I'm talking about Kenny Omega. So please, yes, yeah. No one speculate
Anyway, I just want to say something like real quick. I know it's all about markability, but when you don't give them a chance to do anything. Like Maggie said, like the whole blinking thing. What the hell was that? There's other opportunities that they never did. And it just irritates me. Like, there's so many different aspects. And that's the thing. There's just so many different things. And the Hurt Business, that was marketable. Like, that's the biggest thing. That was marketable as hell. They just got rid of it. It'll always baffle the hell out of me.
Yes, it was not. It was not a good thing. Not a good thing whatsoever.
Okay.
Them not doing anything with the Hurt Business would always baffle me, man. This is just not okay. They had a gold mine with Hurt Business. And they just didn't. They don't want money. They're not enjoying money. Heidi.
All right, so
yeah,
Maggie, we're gonna talk a little WWE before we head out.
Yes, we are.
What do you think of that Saudi title match that's gonna be happening with Mr. Gunther and Cody Rhodes? And what do you think of that beautiful title? Sorry, I can't even do that with a straight face.
I want to barf on top of that title. I want to fart in its face.
Wow.
Okay.
Okay.
I have feelings about that title. I am so sorry, guys. It's not a political thing. I swear, it's not. It's not. But that title belt, I just don't, man, it's just so ugly to me. I'm sorry. I see people, oh my God, there's a gorgeous belt. And I'm like,
People have said it's a gorgeous belt.
Yes, are we seeing the same belt that I was seeing? This was weird. This was weird to me. So what happened is Triple H came out and presented the gorgeous belt that will be presented to both men and women title holders on different brands when they win their title match against the other. So Gunther versus Cody, and presumably Nia Jax versus Liv Morgan. This champion versus champion, like a survival series match off, and they will be getting the title belts. So what this popped out, because like Gunther came out, and I was pretty sure that I'm like, okay, just say a trips, just give me the title belt because haha, I'm gonna beat Cody. You could have said just that, but like they decided to lean towards the fact that Goldberg was in the crowd, and I'm like, no, please, no, 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 no. So what I think is going to happen now, because like, you know, Gunther, like, Jesus Christ, no, I do not like that. I'm sorry. Just, I really don't like it. So he was like, hey, Goldberg, I know that I said to Bret Hart that you're my favorite wrestler, but I did that for the lols. I hope you're a better father than you are a wrestler because you're a one-trick pony. And I'm like, okay. I mean, if there's a way Gunther can become even more one of my favorites, there's a way, yes, by doing that. But like what happened was that Goldberg, you know, jumped the barricade. He wanted to fight in the ring. So what I think is going to happen now is that Goldberg will cost Gunther the match in Saudi Arabia.
Wow. You are a horrible person.
Yes, because I...
My God.
Because I don't think Cody is losing the match against Gunther, and I don't want Gunther losing clean to anyone. I'm sorry to all the Cody crybabies out there. I know you're watching. I'm sorry. I just
actually okay with you. I don't think you need to be sorry. I think they'd be happy with you. Not.
No, I'm saying that I don't want Cody Rhodes anywhere near beating Gunther clean. That's what I'm saying. Oh, okay, I don't think that in any universe Cody would be able to pin Gunther clean. This is why I'm saying that Goldberg will get involved and ruin everything. Because like I think that Cody versus Gunther is a WrestleMania main event in the future. So I think that they kind of flopped this here. And there you go. What do you think about my proposal? I don't want it to happen because it would mean that we have to get Gunther versus Goldberg. And I do not want that because I don't want Gunther to be hurt.
The thing is, I think your prediction is probably like, I don't like it because I think it could happen. That's the awful thing about it. I mean, it's a good prediction because I could see it happening. But I don't like it. I mean, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I just don't want it to happen. I like Gunther. Hell, I still think we should call him Walter, but that's me.
Yeah, I understand what you're going for. I also miss Walter, but what they did now, because like they made Gunther into this unstoppable force, and I can clearly say that I can talk about Gunther calling him Walter when it comes to his indie stuff, his NXT UK stuff, and his NXT stuff over the US. That's about it. And then he got, you know, reborn when he became Gunther. He's still forced to be reckoned with, but like he's a different ring general than he was before that. I hope that this doesn't happen, by the way. I just want, here's the thing, if we can get a pretty decent match between Cody and Gunther, and then Goldberg appears, distracts Gunther, but not in an obvious way, and then Cody wins, goes away, and then they, you know, start trying to brawl, but, you know, officials break them up. And then Gunther destroys Goldberg. 2 minutes. 2 minutes. 2 minutes worth of power bombs, lariats, splashes, and everything. I don't want one offense for Goldberg. Not even one. I just, that is it, man. That is it. That's what I'll give me this. This is the only way I can be okay with Goldberg interfering in Saudi Arabia. The only way. Let's move on because I gave myself a migraine, okay? Okay. Yes.
Well, then we'll move on from that. Don't want a migraine there. You know, let's do some Cooper effect.
Yes, yes, we can do that. Thank you, because I was going to forget again. Hi, guys. This is such a lovely, lovely story of a woman that wanted to redo her stairs, okay? Because the stairs in her mind looked a bit old. The thing is that I think that it was the third or the fourth stair. I couldn't count watching the video. That this was where her dog that previously passed away, this was the dog's place. The dog sat, slept on this particular stair, and this was the place where the doggy finally laid its head on its owner and passed away in her lap on this very stair. So it's kind of a bit of a sad story, but like the owner redid the stairs but could not be bothered to forget about her baby boo, and just made a memorial about, you know, of the dog on that stair. This is such a wonderful way to keep a dog in your thoughts, your family, and everything. This is a wonderful, wonderful thing. Also, if the video doesn't make you cry, you're probably a psycho.
Yeah, and I'll put the link in for the
It's a short video on Twitter, X, or whatever you want to call it. It's a really, really, really wonderful thing. So I'm just gonna move on because I'm gonna start crying about this, because it was a really, really, you know, happy and really touching video. Yes. So Rob, yeet or no yeet?
That is the question, according to Bill Shakespeare.
This is exactly what he said.
He did.
It's just lost in translation. You Americans always butcher the language.
Yeah, that's exactly it. So we know he'll get there, because you know what Roman's gonna do? He's gonna say, Jimmy, this is what you need to do. It's like, get Jay here. Jay's gonna go, and Roman's gonna say, Jay, Waffle House? And Jay's gonna be like, yeah, I'm back. And then they got him. That's all you gotta do. Bring him to Waffle House, and he's in. That's all you got to do. And then they're gonna bring Sammy back, and it's gonna be either a 4-on-4.
It's gonna be really oozy.
Or 5-on-5. I mean, they got options to do. There's options there. They can add.
Just click on options.
Yeah, they could add Zilla maybe. They can. Hell, with it being a War Games match, you could probably. This is maybe pushing it, but he doesn't have to be too.
Involved?
Involved like doing things, but Rikishi could like get in there like too, like in a violent match, you know, like if it's like just punching and stuff, like he knows
how to do that. Yeah, but on whose side?
Oh, he'd be on his he'd be on the Usos, like Jimmy and Jay, and
so he's abandoning his other son.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, of course, you got to. The other thing is, yeah, you got to do it in the name of family. The other option that I've heard, and I do kind of think the other option is that they do add Hikuleo to the other team, like Solo's team, and then The Rock joins Roman's team, and then we just know what happens there.
Yeah, but like, okay, listen, what I really want is for Roman to confront Solo, and he was like, why, Solo, why? And Solo looks at him dead in the eyes, and he's like, I did it for The Rock. Yeah. I want that. So,
or I did it for the nookie.
Yes. And so you can take that cookie. Yes. The cookie that D'Lo gave me at the beginning of the show. So you can take that cookie and stick it up here. Yeah. Nestle Toolhouse. Thank you. Oh my God. Someone gets my friend's reference. That's pretty good. So yeah, what happened was at Bad Blood, Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes teamed up together to face Jacob Fatu and Solo. So what happened was Jimmy Uso finally came back. And good save.
Gave some sweet chin music.
Yes, he did. Oh my God, that super kick from Shelton Benjamin to Leo Rush. I'm sorry, I'm just getting flashbacks. Like throughout this entire show, I'm getting flashbacks from Shelton Benjamin versus Leo Rush. He kicked the crap out of Leo Rush with that super kick, man. Yeah, so back to earth. So Jimmy's back, and you know that they have to make sweet on Jey Uso, right? Like they have to put some romance on that guy. Because do you remember the last time when the Shield were back together? They had to do weeks worth of storytelling to get Dean Ambrose to do the fist thing again. Because like Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins were on the same page for some time. But Dean Ambrose wasn't. He was like, come on, do the thing. And then he was like, the moment he put his fist there, everyone lost their minds. Because the Shield, I don't think that the Shield will, like, I don't know if anything will be able to top the Shield when it comes to awesomeness, because they were truly the package. I love that package. And just, okay, let's just move on. Gently move on, okay?
Soupy.
Just never mentioning it again. So all three of these people are really important parts of the storylines in their respective companies. Seth Rollins is back. He's like, I want Bronson Reed because people like this keep me on the edge, keep me on, at my best self. So this is great. So this is the thing that needs to happen here. They need to put the moves on Jey Uso. Because, like, Jimmy is showing up in his locker room. He's trying to chase him backstage. And I'm like, there you go. This is how you do it. Because, like, they never made amends. Because of all the things that they've done to each other in the past. And in that match that they had at WrestleMania that I totally forgot about. This is how they're gonna do it, because I don't think that any of us thought that this was gonna be easy getting Jey Uso back to the OG bloodline. And at the other end, you have Kevin Owens turning heel on Cody Rhodes, attacking him.
Son of a bitch.
Yes, thank you, Kevin Owens. You are so right. Thank you. And then Kevin Owens turning on Randy Orton, and Randy Orton being the voice of reason is such a weird thing, man. It's like, what year is this? This, what am I watching? Like, imagine the level of hot-headedness that you have in that locker room that Randy Orton needs to put some sense into you. So that is a bit concerning. So a lot of things to be looking forward to when it comes to WWE, not Goldberg, hopefully, But this is something that I'll keep my eyes on, definitely. And you always have The Rock. The Rock returned at the end of Bad Blood, but he did nothing apart from, you know, doing the eyebrow thing. And you still have no idea who he's backing. Because, hi, I'm back, and then he's never back again. But, like, whose side is he on? We still have no idea. Zero idea.
That's true. Well, Maggie, you want some jokes?
I always want some jokes. Please leave the best for last.
Okay. Well, let's do this. Okay, Maggie. My son tripped up coming up the driveway. Sorry, let me rephrase this. My son tripped walking up the driveway. I said, it's your own asphalt. Not the best one, but I got more. Let's see here. That's not good. Where'd that page go? Hold on.
No.
No, they can't be gone. They can't be gone. Please don't go. Please don't go. Please don't go. There they are.
Okay.
I thought I lost them for a second. That scared me. Why can't you hear a pterodactyl used in the bathroom? Because the pee is silent.
Okay, this is going to be a weird one. Why?
Because the pee is silent. I told my dog a joke about fetch. He didn't get it.
He didn't get it, yeah.
What did the diner say to the waitress who asked him if he wanted a box for his leftovers? So I'm not really into boxing, but I'll wrestle you. Not the best dad jokes this week, but they're better than nothing.
It's fine. They're like, my sister would love them. I can guarantee you that she loves those puns and everything. She loves them. I keep forgetting that, because I hear some magnificent dad jokes and I'm like, I'm gonna tell those to Rob, and I always forget them because I'm that person who never ever remembers a joke. I'm sorry, it's just that bad.
Okay.
Guys, thank you so much for joining us. Please leave a comment under the video after you finish watching. Thank you in advance for that. You can follow me on Twitter or X or whatever at Maggie_IK and on Instagram at Maggie.IK. This upcoming Thursday, October 24th, please join me. I will be joining Steven Jensen and Jeremy Lambert live on the Spotlight. It starts at, I want to say, at 8 a.m. Eastern, 8:30 a.m. Eastern. Yeah.
What are you doing?
Because
it
starts at, 8 a.m. Eastern. It starts then. Yes. I think that other people will be joining in and out of the Spotlight, but I will be joining them live, and I'm so happy that the stars finally aligned, and I will be a part of those shenanigans that happen every Thursday. Cool. Yes.
All right.
Rob?
Guys, follow me at robwilkins.x, Instagram at FightfulRob, or Threads on FightfulRob, and then every Friday right here at 3 o'clock Eastern on Fightful Overbooked. Hope you guys have a great week, and we will see you next week. Peace out, homies. Bye-bye.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.